Thank you for supporting WBEZ. You keep public media public. December gifts are among the most important because they set the tone for our reporting in 2026. Next year, we're doubling down on bringing you stories that arm you with the facts. This journalism relies on everyone contributing what they can. Join them today at wbez.org/donate.
I'm Sasha Ann Simons, and this is Reset. Throughout March, Women's History Month, we're bringing you stories of lesser-known Chicago women who were trailblazers or changemakers. This week, we learned about Jackie Bross, a 1940s factory worker who dared, I mean dared, to wear pants to work. Back then, trousers, according to the law, were for men. But Jackie wasn't having it. She stood her ground, and her bravery and common sense eventually led to changes in local law. To help tell Jackie's story and to reflect on why women's history is essential, we spoke with Jennifer Breyer, a professor of U.S. history, gender, race, and sexuality at the University of Illinois at Chicago. Before we dove into Jackie's life and her time, Jennifer helped us understand how critical women's history is and the importance of Women's History Month as a way to uplift and focus the lens on history told through these perspectives.
Well, as a women's historian, it's my month. And I think a lot about what it means to understand why it's March. International Women's Day is coming up on March 8th. Mm-hmm. It is a truly international experience and one that I don't think we understand very well in the United States. But it's also a time to really reflect on why women and why the study of gender, meaning the relationship between masculinity and femininity, men and women, but also power, political power, social power, economic power, why gender matters in the way that we think about history.
Mm-hmm. Women's stories traditionally have just been overlooked, right? That's just an age-old thing. Do you think, though, that that started to change? As someone who looks at this very closely all the time,
yeah, I mean, absolutely.
Are more people interested in hearing things?
I mean, every time I teach U.S. women's history for the last 20 years, students have said, why didn't I learn this before? And they get so excited by it, and they're so turned on to the ideas and the sort of discovery that there were people like them in the past, young people, elders, people of all different races and classes, women and men and trans people who have been active in trying to change the world and change their very local spaces, yeah, but also the world.
I'm curious how you even answer that when a student says, why didn't I know this before? Why didn't I grow up learning about this person?
I say, I hear you, and I'm sad that you don't know, but you actually know now, and so we've got to move from where we are.
Tell us more about your approach to teaching U.S. history.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, part of what I understand as a historian who has spent a lot of time thinking about LGBT history, women's history, the history of gender, I'm always looking to say that if we put women at the center, if we put any group of people at the center of history, it changes everything we know, but it also confirms lots of things that we know.
We don't know, right?
Right.
Yeah. So let's talk about the woman who's at the center of our conversation today. That's Jackie Bross. Mm-hmm. Who was she?
Well, let me give you one historical context before we talk about Jackie, if I may.
Sure.
I know you're in history mode. You've just been hearing about the buildings. In 1851, the city of Chicago, which was then less than 15 years old, passed an anti-cross-dressing ordinance. So you can go see it. You can see the hand-scripted ordinance is in the archives up at NEIU on Foster.
That was in 1851.
1851. If any person shall appear in a public place in a state of nudity or in a dress not belonging to his or her sex, he shall be subject to a fine of no less than $20 nor exceeding $100.
Wow.
So people have been wearing clothing that doesn't belong to their sex for hundreds of years
time.
In Chicago.
So then why was it such a big deal when Jackie did it?
Yeah. So people were arrested all the time in at the end of the 19th century and throughout the early 20th century. In 1943, again, this point, if you put women at the center, it changes everything we know, but it also confirms lots of things we know. Mm-hmm. World War II is obviously a huge turning point in U.S. history. And one of the ways that World War II is a turning point in ways that we don't know is what it meant on the home front. Mm-hmm. So Jackie Broth comes to Chicago with her family. Her father is Cherokee. We don't know about her mother. They come to Chicago from Utah probably a few years earlier, sometime in the late 1930s or early 1940s, to do wartime work in the city of industry, right, in the back of the yards, in the place that we know Chicago to be.
She's 19, working as a machinist.
Right.
Right?
So she comes to work at a factory on the west side, on the far west side, on Monroe Street, and she's working in a die casting company. And she wears pants, not just pants, but pants that button in the front. That's the part that's illegal, because women were allowed to wear pants by the 1940s, but the pants had to zip up on the side and not button in the front.
I see. So that was the big faux pas.
And she gets arrested and taken to the Racine Avenue station because she was dressed in blue flannel trousers, which I think are jeans, a plaid sport shirt, a plaid Mackinaw jacket and Oxford. And the quote from the Tribune article from 1943 says she had a mannish haircut.
Yeah. And then the next day when Jackie appears in court, you know, she says, "I wore men's clothes because they were more comfortable than women's clothes and they were handy for work." And so she was there standing her ground. She said, "I wish I was a boy. I never did anything wrong. I just like to wear men's clothes." And she says, "Everyone knows I'm a woman." What does that make you think?
Well, it makes me think a lot of things. And I'll tell you a story. When I was curating the exhibition on LGBT history that ran at the Chicago History Museum, we found this story. And we went down into the photo morgue of the History Museum and we found the original photograph of Jackie Broth at the Racine Station with her friend Catherine Barzaz. And they are so powerful in the way that they look at the camera and they are holding their ground. It's in the police station, these two women together, very clear what they are doing, who they are, and that sense of defiance and resistance in deciding to wear the clothes that they wanted to wear and why they had to wear them and why they needed to wear them was really clear. And so what happens as a result of Jackie's and Catherine's decision to wear these clothes is that the city council changes the ordinance to allow people to wear clothing as long as they're not of the opposite sex, so long as they're not trying to deceive people or be lewd.
It's that cross-dressing ordinance that you were talking about earlier, right?
But what he also does, which is an important part of the story, is he sentences Jackie Broth to 6 months of psychiatric evaluation. So there is something in what Jackie did.
Seems a bit extreme, no?
Well, right. And it says that Jackie's defiance was, in fact, it changed some things, but it didn't change others.
Tell us more about how Jackie's court case affected laws at that time.
Well, it has this immediate effect of making it possible for women to wear clothing and also to be part of the war effort. So you think about Rosie the Riveter. This Jackie Broth is a Rosie the Riveter.
Yes.
Right? Just to sort of bring these things back together. And she's also, well before, real organizing around what we would today call LGBT rights. So she's in between earlier efforts that happened in the 1920s and then things that will happen in the 1950s and 1960s. So she's right in this in-between period. And so again, when we put women at the center, it changes the way we tell the story about how when it starts and when it ends. Mm-hmm. Historians call this periodization.
But back then, I mean, cross-dressing arrests, they did continue for a period in Chicago.
Oh, they continue for a long time.
Something changed, though, in 1978. What was that?
Yeah, so that's when there is a real attempt to change, to not put these constraints. Like, you have to prove that you're not being lewd. You have to prove that you're, you know, not trying to deceive. Because throughout the 1950s and 1960s, we have reports of police arresting people if they're not wearing at least undergarments that belong to the sex that they're in. So you regularly hear stories of people being in bar raids and talking about making a decision to wear what is in essence undergarments for the sex that they were assigned at birth, as opposed, and clothes on top that don't appear that way. Mm-hmm. But so that is starting to change by the 1970s. And I guess what I would say about Jackie Bross and what we know about her, and if this woman is listening to this, I would love for her to get in touch with me. We had this picture of Jackie on the wall in the exhibition, and a woman came with her third grade child, and the class didn't come to see the exhibition. The mom came, and she walked in, and she said, "That is my husband's Aunt Jackie."
Really?
And she is on the wall of the History Museum. And she was always the best dressed person in our family at all family reunions and family barbecues and family events. And she always had the best dressed woman on her arm.
So you came very close to a family member.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. So thinking of Jackie's story, thinking of just the strife between the 1940s and, you know, 1978, as we were just talking about, what does that make you think about not just that era of U.S. history, but today? It feels like we're still going through a lot of that.
Yeah. I was thinking, I was listening to the previous conversation about the building registry, and it really made me think that what we decide to commemorate and preserve and conserve and maintain, whether it's stories or buildings or laws or everyday lived experience. Mm-hmm. Like, we have to be focused on that. It is the only way that we are going to be able to move forward. We have to go from storytelling to story listening to story hearing and story acting.
What do the history books miss when they overlook women like Jackie Bross?
Exactly. What do the history books miss? Not just about someone like Jackie Bross, but what do they miss about what World War II meant? What do they miss about what laws mean to people in different ways? What do they miss about the reality? We say a lot, Chicago has the largest urban Native American population in the country. What do they miss by not having Jackie Bross in that story?
I love learning women's history from you. You've got to come back this month.
I
promise
will.
Me?
I promise.
Jennifer Breyer is a scholar of U.S. history, gender, race, and sexuality at the University of Illinois at Chicago. Thank you again.
Thank you.
This episode of the Reset Podcast was produced and mixed by Ari Mejia. It was edited by Dan Tucker. As part of our Chicago history series, we'll be focusing each week on a different woman and the world in which they lived. To make sure you never miss an episode, hit subscribe wherever you listen or find us at wbez.org/reset. I'm Sasha Ann Simons, wishing you a happy Women's History Month.
My name is Donald. I live on the southeast side of Chicago. I support WBEZ because of the balanced reporting and covering so much about an issue as opposed to just the few seconds that you may hear on most other news outlets. It matters to me to hear the story more completely.